You know, I love silent worship because it gives a chance for the babies to be heard. And my mom always listens to my sermons because she's, you know, that kind of good mother who likes to encourage her son and tell him what a great job he did. And she'll say, oh, I heard Jaron. And I heard Tyler. So, you know, some of those other babies were talking to you, but, oh, I sit here and I'm listening to Maverick and everybody else, and then Jaron, that's mine. That's my boy. Turn with me to Psalms 100, please. It reads, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now you read this psalm, and it's a pretty short psalm, but it's so packed with powerful words. Shout for joy to the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with a joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. The Lord is good. His love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations. That's a pretty fitting psalm today, right? Well, I want to ask ourselves when we came in today, what is the state of our joy this morning? How did we feel when we walked in the door? This last month, we've dug into joy with Christ. We talked about Paul's joy in Christ, regardless of the circumstances of his life in prison and persecution, like he talks about in Philippians and Thessalonians. Joy in the second coming of Christ, which is in Thessalonians chapter 3. Joy in Christ as the bridge that connects us to God, regardless of the sin of mankind. And only through him do we have the seal of the Holy Spirit ensuring our salvation. Joy in knowing that we were wicked, but saved by the grace of Christ, so that knowing Christ is worth more than anything else that this world has to offer. So those are all the things that we've talked about, and that's some pretty good stuff. And yet, I know all this, but I still struggle with joy some days because of my circumstances. I'll be honest, I'm tired this morning. I'm worn down. I'm ready for a vacation. It's been a long 3 months. It's been more than 3 months because we've been saving boxes for a year. So when people are unpacking the truck and they get all these diaper boxes, people are probably like, man, how many diapers did they go through? We've been saving those. But yeah, it's been a long 4 or 5 months between moving and interviewing and planning and then meeting people and starting a new job and everything. And those are all circumstances. And yet they bring me down in my state of joy with the Lord. When I came here this morning, I'll admit I was tired. I'm pretty worn out. See, we know all of these things that we've been talking about, like our joy is in Christ, and only through Christ were we saved from our wickedness, and we have a seal from the Holy Spirit that's going to send us to heaven. It ensures our salvation. But yeah, some days I still struggle with joy. Does anybody else still have days where they struggle with joy when that alarm clock goes off? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And nobody out here lies, so everybody raise their hand. Some of my circumstances are debt. I'm tired. I got a family. You know that makes you tired, especially if you have kids. I've got a marriage. You know marriage is work, I hope. So I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. I just think that a relationship takes work. The house gets dirty. I've got a 2.5-year-old and a 6-month-old that just learned to crawl. Our house is dirty. It's not super dirty. It's just, you know, it's the kids' toys. If you were to come over, it would just, my wife's getting red. I've got cars that need work. I've got the expensive gas to put in them. My old job, my alarm clock used to go off at 4:30 in the morning. Now, I know some people get up earlier than that. I know Rick does. But I think he's kind of a morning person. I'm not a morning person. If you've met me, if you've ever come into the office in the morning, I'm not a morning person. I didn't feel like worshiping God. I didn't feel like having joy in the Lord at 4:30 in the morning. And then I would go and I would trim these houses that are million-dollar houses, and then I would come home from them to my house to, what, 700 square feet when you're doing 7,000 square foot houses. And it didn't really make me appreciate my home a whole lot when I came back home. The message this morning is very simple. It's about helping our perspective on our life circumstances that we'll probably never get away from. Because, I mean, let's face it, we're all going to have circumstances, right? If you have things, you have circumstances. If you're alive and you do things, you're going to have circumstances. I want to read something, a little story, and it's a story about two perspectives. Dr. Robert Hill, author of 40 books, tells of visiting Bangkok, Thailand, where he was invited to a special celebration given by the king and queen. His Thai guide, a young man named Joseph, asked several questions as he drove them to the pavilion. He knew a little English and was delighted to carry on a conversation. When he asked where the Hills lived, they told him in Richmond, Virginia. "Oh, are you a rich man?" asked the boy. Bob laughed and told him, "No, he wasn't rich," Bob recalled. Then he asked if we owned an automobile, and I told him we had two cars in our family. His next question was about the house where we lived. I told him it was a rather simple house with 10 rooms. He was amazed at its size, especially when he related his and his family lived in just two small rooms. Then he asked about our family. We told him we had four healthy children, two in college and two still at home. Joseph was silent for a moment or so. Then he replied, "Well, you are a rich man." We laughed. But deep in our hearts, we knew he was right. Though we had never thought about it in those terms, we were rich. But were we thankful? I love that little story because it's about two very different perspectives. One, Dr. Hill, who had much, and second, Joseph, who had little. Now, to Joseph, Dr. Hill was very rich. To Dr. Hill, his things and his life, they weren't so glamorous, probably compared, I'm sure, to the neighbor's house, or some of the other cars that he sees down the road, or some of the other people in the practice who are higher or make more money. See, he's not rich compared to those other people. But the question about being thankful and truly thankful was what Dr. Hill had to confront. And I think it's a question that we all need to confront in ourselves. Are we truly thankful? Because I'll be honest, I grumble. I grumble some days. Now, you guys have seen my truck out there. I want a new one. It's got rust on the doors. It's 98, you know, it's a year newer than Brent's truck, but Brent's is in better condition. I tell you what, we grumble in life, don't we, about things, because we're surrounded by all these other things that there's always something nicer than ours, right? I think that there's no question that if the roles were reversed and Joseph was given all that Dr. Hill had after Joseph had lived the life that he had, I think Joseph would feel very rich, but he would also be very thankful because he had experienced little. And yet, through experiencing the little with all the other people around him in his neighborhood, he probably didn't feel like he had so much more little because it was probably very common. What we need to do in life is to take Joseph's perspective on our circumstances. We need to zoom out a little bit from some of the things that are going on in our lives and see where they're coming from, these circumstances, and remind ourselves that what we need to do is be thankful and that we have such wonderful things to be thankful for. I made a little list here of some of the things that I grumble about. Number one is my debt. Out of that debt came an education, came a wife, because she has an education, so I got hers too. But she got mine, and mine was bigger. We have a car, a very comfortable car, a van, and maybe your debt comes from your home. Maybe your debt comes from something to get you healthy again. You know what? I complain about the price of gas. What I hate about the price of gas is that when it goes up to $4 and then comes down to $2, everybody's like, "Oh, gas is so low." No, it's not. It's still $2. But I complain about the price of gas, but I bet if I didn't have a car, I wouldn't complain about it, would I? Just like I complain about the things I have to do to my car. All I got to do is get rid of them, and I don't have those circumstances anymore, don't I? Talk about a messy house, but I've got two beautiful little boys that mess it up for me. We talk about, man, our house is so small and so cramped. But in the story, Joseph just had two rooms, one for his family and one for his family's family. Think about my house when I'd come home from these million-dollar mansions. But you know what? I was thankful on many days because the house was warm. Didn't cost as much to heat. It had carpet. It had a ceramic floor in the kitchen. It had everything that we needed. It had a dishwasher. It was very comfortable. It was warm and it was dry and it was safe and it was in a great neighborhood. Sometimes my family makes me grumble. Anybody have family that makes you grumble? Oh, dear. We're going to meet with the Felts this week. if we're honest with ourselves, relationships can tend to wear on you a little bit because you're perfect and they're not. I mean, that's my problem in my family. But but think about those relationships that you do have with my family, with my healthy boys, with my extended family. And everybody welcomes one another. You know, there's hugs, there's kisses, shaking of hands. It's a great thing, even though sometimes it's work. You know what? That early alarm that I had that got me up at 4:30 in the morning most days, when that alarm went off and I would focus on that alarm, I wasn't very joyful because I was tired. That's only 6 hours of sleep when you've got two small boys. But if I'd zoom out past the alarm clock a little bit and look at my circumstance, look at what it really was, it would see that that was the job that God gave me that brought my wife home, that made sure that my boys didn't have to go to daycare and could be raised by the woman whom I want them to be influenced by. Pretty good circumstance, isn't it? But if I didn't zoom out and I just focused on my pity and my not being a morning person, then it was time to grumble. Then I did struggle with joy. You know, as Americans, I'm just going to say it, we're downright spoiled, aren't we? We have got so much stuff. I mean, our houses are warm. We've got a furnace that's not working in the back, but how many other furnaces are in the building that are working? I mean, I'm warm up here. If you're cold, just come on up here. Almost all the circumstances in my life that I have dwelled upon or struggled against or moped about or grumbled about cannot compare, I feel, to the religious persecution that Paul was talking about being jailed, about the threat of being stoned or killed just for preaching the truth. We don't have that here. See, we came here today in our cars. If it was cold, if you were cold, you put on a coat, right? We came here with Bibles in hand, and we came here during the day, lights on in an open room. We're not in some basement being afraid that we're going to get bombed or killed or taken to jail for praising God. It's warm in here. We've got plenty of space, which pretty soon we're going to change that and pack it out. More importantly than all of these earthly things that we came here to enjoy today, we've come to a God with open arms. No sacrifices required other than faith in Christ. Our wickedness made clean. Our sins whiter than snow. Sinners welcome. Eternity reserved for all who believe. See, when we slow down and we back up and we zoom out and we really look at what we've got, it's pretty easy to find that spirit of joy and thanksgiving for what the good Lord has given us. See, I'm already feeling better. Now, we are rich, but are we thankful? I want to stop and think about for a minute about some of the things that I mentioned. Just think about some of the things in your life. Don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. Don't think about your neighbor. Don't think about somebody else who looks more glamorous than you. Just think about what you have. And then back out a little bit. And just maybe help you take on a new perspective.
quieter than quiet time. That was good.
Are we thankful? Let's read Psalm 100 one more time. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.